And here we are with episode 62 of the Running Anthropologist Podcast. Welcome. This is a really, really exciting one and one that is very meaningful to me. In this episode, we interview Chris Twiggs, the Chief Training Officer for the Galloway Running Organization, and he tells us all about pacing and Run Disney, how he got started with Run Walk Run, and also the importance of sticking to a training regimen, how you can do it, looking forward to ways to improve, to take risks in healthy ways, and also some of the positives, some of the benefits of being with a pacer throughout a marathon distance or any distance running, and also community, how community supports us when we're doing a new running venture and can learn from others. In this episode, we also share a little bit about the Walt Disney World Marathon coming back after a long hiatus due to the pandemic and some of the things that go into putting together a weekend like that. I'm really excited to share this with you again and can't wait to have you along. Please connect with us. We put our information on the blog site, runninganthropologist.com, as well as everything we talk about in this episode. There will be links in the show notes and on the blog site. You can message us on Running Anthropologist on Instagram or Facebook. You can connect with us through our blog site as well, and hope to hear from you. Any ideas you have, running inspiration, corners of running culture that are exciting for you. Without further ado, let's get started. And today on the podcast, we have Chris Twiggs, the Chief Training Officer for the Galloway organization, for the Jeff Galloway Run Walk Run organization, and so honored to have you on the podcast. Thank you for being here, Chris.
Hey, Mark. Thank you so much, and I'm sure we'll talk more about specifics. But I want to thank you right away for being our 4-hour pacer at the Disney Marathon this past weekend. You did a fantastic job.
Thanks so much, Chris. Yeah, I loved every minute of it. And I've told you this informally, but I want to tell you it's probably the best running experience I have had. It was absolutely wonderful, and all thanks to the wonderful work that you guys do and the runners that ran along with me. I was very honored to be able to do that.
Yeah, it was a great weekend, and the energy that surrounds that whole experience, starting with the expo on Wednesday, all the way through all of the events, concluding with the marathon on Sunday, that energy is just unsurpassed.
I want to get into all about you, because you're the expert, and I have a lot of things to ask you, Chris, but I also want to just compliment the overall organization. It was beautiful. I mean, it went flawlessly, and getting that many people out so quickly and so early, and it was really a magical experience. I have to give it to Disney and to Run Disney and to the Galloway organization. They did a great job together.
Yep, absolutely. Thanks.
So let's get started with the question I ask most people that join is, what are your running roots? However you describe that, how did you get started, and maybe how that led into finding Galloway?
Yeah, you bet. So I was brought into running primarily through my wife. I met her in college, and she was a runner already, and I was not. I was more tennis, golf, pickup basketball, that sort of thing. And she got me into running, got me signed up for my first 5K. I went to my first half marathon. She ran a half marathon, and I ran a relay with some friends as part of it. And then after we got married, she signed up for a marathon. She wanted us together to sign up for a marathon. And I was terrified by that. I thought there was no way I was prepared for something like that, but it seemed like a neat opportunity. We've always loved Walt Disney World, and the Walt Disney World Marathon was going to happen. It was the first year of the race. And so she wanted us to do it. We signed up and we used a different training program at first, just out of a book, and knew before we even got to the starting line, we knew that that plan was not going to work well for us. We were very busy. She was in medical school. I was in grad school. I was working three jobs while I was in grad school. And there was just no way I could put in the type of training that this other plan called for. And so we looked around for other things, and we came across Jeff Galloway's book on running, and it offered an opportunity for us to train for a marathon using just one long run a week and two shorter runs during the week and the long run on the weekend. And that we could fit into our schedules. And so we started training with that, and it made a ton of difference for us. And even though we used the other plan to train for our first marathon, we very quickly after that marathon converted over to Jeff Galloway's training method and following his schedules. And I've stuck with it ever since. And this past Sunday was my 29th consecutive Walt Disney World Marathon.
That's amazing. I had no idea that that story is beautiful, that you were at the first one, and then from that you learned about the run, walk, run method. Has that been, so you've ran every Disney marathon since then?
Yes. Yeah, I have. And the only marathon I've done without walk breaks was the first one, because I was using a different program. And then we heard Jeff the night before the second Disney marathon talking about walk breaks. We'd used his book, but that first book, you could get through that first book and be forgiven if you didn't really catch all of the walk break stuff in it. It wasn't really the focus of that first Galloway's book on running. It's much more front and center on the newest edition, the third edition of that book. But it was the night before the second Disney marathon that we heard Jeff talking about walk breaks. And so it was in the second marathon is when we actually tried walk breaks for the first time. Huh. But yeah, we've been with Disney, been coming to the Disney marathon every year. My wife did not, she's not perfect in the marathon because we have a kid who was born marathon weekend. Thankfully for me, he was born before the marathon, so I could be there. Didn't abandon my wife during labor or anything, but the baby was born and she couldn't run the race, but I went down with, she stayed with the two-day-old baby when I went down and ran the race that year.
Wow. She still counts as perfect in that case, I think.
She's perfect to me, that's for sure.
Like you, I also found Disney running and Galloway method through my wife. Although I'd heard about the benefits of taking walk breaks before, had been marathoning since I was in college, but it really, really had a dramatic change in my running as well. Paid huge dividends and has allowed me to keep running. So one of the things I wanted to ask you, you've obviously heard stories like that from hundreds of people, thousands of people in your years. In your experience, why is, doing the walk-run method, having sticking to some type of pacing in the ratios, why is that kind of thing important in distance running?
Well, I mean, the run-walk method, first of all, is a fantastic way for new runners to get into the sport without feeling intimidated. Walking is something we all do. And so it's easy for people to get into races if they understand that, well, you don't have to run the whole thing. You don't have to run, 26.2 miles. You don't have to run 13.1 miles, whatever the distance race is. You can alternate running and walking and you can get through it. That's far less intimidating. And so it's really a good way to bring people in. And then as people gain confidence, as they get fit, as they grow in their competitive desires, what's great about the Galloway method is that it scales with them. And by changing the run-walk ratio we're using and changing the pace that we're running, we can get faster or go longer distances without ever having to give up that run-walk at all. In fact, I was just reading a Facebook post from Jeff Galloway's son, Weston, who had his first time going under 3 hours in the marathon was at Disney this weekend, and he stuck to a very strict run-walk ratio throughout. And so it's, you know, it's nice to see that sometimes you would think that, you know, there's that parable about not a prophet not being recognized in his hometown. So sometimes that Jeff's kids might not want to listen to him and use the run walk. But here Weston, you know, broke 3 hours in the marathon using the method and is a good example of how it does scale and can get to faster runners. Sticking to a strict run walk ratio and to a strict pace during a race can be really, really helpful for all of us because it keeps us from making mistakes like going out too fast when we crash and burn, or getting behind early on and having to make up too much, at the end. So trying to adhere to an even pace, trying to hit even splits, knowing what your splits need to be throughout the race, and then sticking to the run walk ratio that feels best for you at that pace. Those techniques can really serve us all and get us the best results, whatever the distance is that we're racing.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I had also read that post and I thought, man, that's really remarkable because even in my fastest days, I still, you know, wasn't under 3 hours. And here, someone, of course, with much longer running spurts, I think probably 4 minutes and then 15 seconds or something like that, whereas our 4 hour pace group was doing 2 minutes running and 30 seconds walking and repeat. So of course that spreads backwards to our slower pacing groups would be doing something like 30-30s or something like that. Is that right?
Yes, actually our very back of the pack pace group was actually doing 15 seconds run, 30 seconds walk.
Okay. Wow. That's great. And they still get to run, but maybe they're feeling more comfortable, obviously, with their cadence walking, but they still get in the running part of it too.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. And it's actually, even though a lot of people would be able to walk the pace that they're going, those pace groups were just maintaining a 16 minute per mile pace, which is the minimum pace required at the Disney Marathon and the half marathon. A lot of people could walk that pace. Putting in those 15 seconds of running is much more comfortable after 20 miles than trying to walk continuously. So run walk is, you know, more comfortable for runners and more comfortable for walkers.
Right. And I guess the theory behind that is, and when we talk about this as pacers, and people ask us, well, why are you doing that? I think a lot of it has to do with, well, they're different muscles. It gives those muscle groups a break. And it's something for those that would rather run the whole thing, it has to do with your heart rate and your overall fatigue throughout the race. Is that about right?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. It allows your heart rate to come down rather than staying elevated like it would if you were running continuously. And, you know, catch your breath, the breathing. You know, the breathing is more consistent when you don't have to maintain that fast pace, but you're able to catch your breath. And then also what you're doing is those walk breaks help to erase the fatigue from your legs so that it's not building up. The interesting math that you can do is you could take that, for example, the 4 hour time that you ran and consider that, okay, so for, you know, for 2 minutes I was running and for 30 seconds I was walking. So that means if I break up the two, it means for a fifth of my time I was walking. So if you consider that your average running pace while you were running was, let's say, maybe 30 seconds per mile faster than what your average is, you could do the math, and I won't do it now and bore you and take all the time, but you could do the math and you could figure out exactly how much of your time, you know, exactly, it was a fifth of your time that you spent that you were out there, you were actually walking. And if you think, well, maybe for a fifth of my time, I was walking at about a 15 minute pace, you could figure out how much distance you were walking during that marathon. And that shows you why you aren't as fatigued at the end, because instead of having 26 miles of running on your legs as you're coming to that finish line, you've actually got something more along the lines of 20 miles of running on your leg.
So, Chris, the other thing that I've noticed and learned from other pacers is that when you're out with a Galloway training group or with a pacing group in a marathon, there's some anecdotal evidence that just the talking and the joking and the focusing on something outside of yourself really is helpful. And I'm sure that's part of that pacing magic too. Can you share, you know, what has your experience been, or can you share any stories from others?
Oh gosh, absolutely. I like to tell the people that are going to run with the pace groups, you don't have to look at your watch at all during the race. The pacers are taking care of the run. They're taking care of the walk. And all you've got to do is go along for the ride. And so it relaxes the runners, and our pacers do a great job of, some of them have games that they play with their groups. I didn't know this until I was in the booth this last weekend, but we have one pacer who plays a game with his runners, that specifically at the Disney Marathon. In the first mile, he will ask his group to come up with the name of a Disney character that starts with letter A. And then the second mile, he'll have everybody call out the character with the letter A and then have them come up with a character with the letter B, and so on and so forth. So that by the 25th mile, they're calling out characters. They're calling out 25 different characters, for each with a different letter of the alphabet. And those games, you know, the runners are having fun, and it takes a while to name off all these characters in a group. And so while they're doing that, they're covering the ground. They're staying on pace. And obviously the pacer is making sure that they're on the proper pace that they're supposed to be for that group. But the people in the group aren't worried about their speed. They're not worried about their ratio. They're worried about remembering all these Disney characters. So it takes their mind off of any pain or any, and I think probably there are runners who work a little harder to stay with that group because they want to find out what's going to be the next letter that we get to, you know, what's the next character that we're going to come up with, or maybe they want to be the one that calls out that character. So whether it's that, or there are other pacers that will call out, we'll sing out songs or cadence, kind of like you would hear in a military march. They'll have those sorts of things that might relate to Jeff Galloway or might relate to the race that they're in. And it gets the people involved and they're having fun. And it's great to be with a pace group. It's definitely a lot easier to get through it because of that camaraderie and that fun you're having. Way easier than being on your own. And even runners that I know like to wear headphones and listen to music when they're running, they will turn their headphones off because they want to be a part of the conversation or a part of the fun that's happening in the group.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And the pacers that I met, that I got to know over the short weekend, they all had their unique personalities, but they also all had, you could tell they were really in it because they cared about helping others to finish on in their goal time, to finish a marathon, to get a PR, and they all had such jovial and positive spirit. As a matter of fact, one of them was handing out joke suggestions, and one that I heard is, you know, if you drop that goo or that whatever you're carrying, don't worry, because the CDC just moved from 5 seconds to 10 seconds, the official rule for what you can, how long before you pick it up. And obviously the water stops, the food, you know, all that stuff that you navigate, the pacers have been through it and they can kind of help you. So those tips are really helpful.
Absolutely. Yeah, you're exactly right. I love that the pacers are sharing these jokes. I know that we'll hear more of them pop up in more groups in the future.
So what, Chris, coming back to, you know, what it takes to put together such a big event, I'd be interested to hear, just, you know, from your experience, what are some of the most important things that go into preparing such a big event, a race weekend for Galloway, for Run Disney, and for the Pacers?
Yeah, well, I mean, so when we're going down to Run Disney, obviously we want to make sure that we are prepared in the booth so that when runners come through the Pace booth or the Galloway booth, they can get the information that they need. So we make sure that we have our list of Pacers prepared. We try to have if I know ahead of time, we try to have what corral the Pacers are going to be in so that people will know that. That was information that for this past Disney race, I didn't know until the first morning of the expo. So okay. I had to hand write in or have somebody hand write in that information. But we have the Pacers names, the times, what the run-walk ratio is that they're going to use, that sort of thing. Obviously, because Jeff Galloway was there, we had a lot of Jeff's books. And so I do an inventory on the books that I have in hand. Any of the books or the Galloway timers or the Gooder sunglasses or anything else, the hats, whatever we sell in the booth, I keep those at my house and take them down each race. And so I do an inventory after the race so that I know what I have. So if I need to get more things from Jeff Galloway's, from him in Atlanta, he can bring them down. I work full time for Jeff, but I don't live in Atlanta where his office is and where his home is. I live in Florida. Mm-hmm. So he'll bring those things down with him when he comes. So we make sure we have a good quantity of things for people to buy. And, you know, I brought some good, comfortable chairs to sit in the booth because I knew Jeff was going to be running the half marathon and I wanted him to be able to rest prior to and following that half marathon. So just make sure that we have all the proper things. Disney communicates with us so that we know what sort of things are going to be available to us there in the booth and what our responsibilities are. They're very strict right now in terms of COVID protocols for the people in the booth. Mm-hmm. And all of that, which is good to know. So those are the sorts of things we do in preparation. Obviously, I spend a lot of time making sure that we've got good pacers that are assigned to times that are going to work for them and are going to work for the race. I wish I could have 40 pacers for the marathon. Unfortunately, I have half that many from Disney. So I have to try to choose strong pacers that I think are going to be able to hit the pace even under challenging conditions. Whereas for the half marathon, I still choose great pacers, but I can put two pacers per time slot. Way, if I'm having a bad day, they've got a partner that can carry on the flag, that sort of thing.
Yeah, that is helpful. And just to have someone with you, I'm sure, is helpful too. If, like you say, if you run into trouble or if someone needs to peel off, if someone has an emergency or something like that.
Yeah. Even a bathroom break, right? Mm. Or it's a Disney race. I know that when I ran the Wine and Dine half marathon as a pacer with Mark Burgett, who was our 3-hour 20-minute pacer this past weekend for the marathon, I was his partner for the half back at Wine and Dine, and he doesn't ever seem to need to use the restroom, but there are a few different Disney characters that he loves to peel off to. So he'll hand me the flag so that I'm leading the group by myself for a few minutes while he peels off and does a character stop. And it's nice that when the Pacers have a partner, they've got the freedom to do that as well.
Oh, that's great. We did manage to get one group picture when the only character there was no line. We just happened to come at the right spot was Frozone. And it happened to be, a little chilly, so it was a good theme, and it turned out to be a great picture. It wasn't too far in.
That's really cool. Yeah, I love those. Yeah, it seems like the one group that always gets a really good group picture is the 7-hour marathon group, because mm-hmm. there are not that many people around them back there, and they're not a huge rush.
Right. That's right. There are more walking opportunities, more of a chance they'll hit that character on their walk too. Chris, this has been so cool to learn from you and to learn some of the nuts and bolts behind, what you guys do. I'm always curious, and I'm sure you get this question from others. Like you, most people learn about walk-run method when they come to a Disney race for the first time. How do people get engaged with doing the Galloway method, running run-walk-run, if they don't have a club in their area? What are some of the things that you guys have going on that people can connect with?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the thing that I spend a lot of my time doing is I coach what's called customized training plans for Galloway. So on our website, jeffgalloway.com, we have a lot of different options for training, and one of them is customized training plans. And this is a way that people can sign up to get 6 months of coaching. They fill out a questionnaire. I build a training schedule for them based on the information they provide. And then I get daily, I get their feedback from them through, we use a thing called Final Surge, which is a really good online training log that syncs with Garmin's and other devices that you would use to track your speed and distance. And so I can see what people's workouts are. And then when they, if they have a question, they can contact me. I do group Zooms with those folks and can adjust their training week by week or day by day if necessary. And that's a really neat community of people, because the folks that get on those Zooms get to know each other. A lot of them got together this past weekend down at Disney. Some of them, it was the first time they'd seen each other in person. So that's a really good way that people can still be a part of Galloway training without having a local Galloway program. Obviously, if you have a local Galloway program, that's a fantastic way to go. And people can go to jeffgalloway.com, and under that training tab, they can see the list of cities where we have programs. Although I will confess right now, not all of the cities that are listed on that page are actively meeting every week. Some places, because of the way COVID has been, some cities have come back to running full strength. Some cities have come back and then had to stop. And some cities just haven't had a program for the last 2 years because they're waiting until the runners in their area are comfortable doing that, or until the leaders are comfortable doing that. Jeff Galloway does coach people as well. He has a thing called e-coaching, so people can be coached directly by Jeff. And then we just have some really good opportunities to connect with Jeff or to connect with other Galloway runners. Club Jeff is a great way to do that. You can join the Jeff Galloway fan club, which is called Club Jeff. That group has a pretty cool online community that they use, and they have monthly Zooms with Jeff Galloway to talk about various topics, everything from, you know, getting faster to nutrition to running until you're 100, all of those things that one time or another we all might be interested in.
Oh, that's awesome. Club Jeff. And you'd mentioned there's a few running challenges coming up too. Are those part of the Galloway Club, or are those separate?
Yeah, those are separate. I mean, we hope that those people that are part of Club Jeff will participate in those, but those are open to everyone, and they're really a lot of fun. Jeff Galloway started a few different virtual challenges back in 2020 when we were really getting into the heart of the pandemic and people were looking for ways to challenge themselves when there were not in-person races that they could do. And so we had a few of those, and they were a lot of fun. And so the latest one that is actually starting this Friday is called the Fidipides Challenge. And Jeff Galloway's running store is called Fidipides. He owns two running stores called Fidipides. And Jeff has had a long connection with the mythology surrounding the most famous runner in history, which was Fidipides, the Greek messenger who legend says ran from Marathon to Athens to deliver the message of the Athenian victory over the Persians, and died at the end of that run. And that's kind of the myth that the marathon is based on when it was created as an event for the 1896 Olympics. And so Jeff Galloway has created this challenge. He's partnered with Dean Karnazes, who has Greek heritage and who has a great love for Greece. And so the two of them have put together their collective knowledge of Greece and knowledge of running. They've put together their resources in terms of the stories that they have, each of them having spent a great deal of time over there running. They put together their pictures, and we're encouraging people to join the Fidipides Challenge. And the Fidipides Challenge is more than just a regular, it's not just a typical virtual challenge, but it actually allows people to follow the messenger Fidipides as he ran. Historically, they say he ran from, before he ran from Marathon to Athens, he ran from Athens to Sparta to encourage the Spartans to come and join in the Athenian battle against the Persians to try to keep the Persians from invading Greece. And so Pheidippides ran from Athens to Sparta, then ran back from Sparta to Marathon, where the battle was to take place, and then from Marathon to Athens at the end. So the distance that this challenge includes is 343 miles, which is the distance from Athens to Sparta to Marathon and then back to Athens. Wow. And as you go through the challenge and as you hit those different distance markers, you learn things about the history of Greece. You learn things about historically about Pheidippides, and you learn things about the different parts of Greece that you are running through virtually on the challenge. It's really going to be a lot of fun, and I'm excited about this partnership with Dean Karnazes. And I've run in Athens. I've run that course from Marathon to Athens 7 times. Wow. And I'm really excited to take part in this challenge and see all these cool materials. And all that starts here this weekend.
Oh, wow. That's exciting. Well, I'll get this out as soon as possible and get a link up to the challenge. That sounds fantastic. And it's right up the alley of anyone interested in culture and running and combining those two. So that's really exciting. I'm once again, Chris, I'm so grateful for your time and all the things that you do, including all the unique stuff that you put into pacing, and so happy to have you on the Running Anthropologist. Do you have any parting wisdom or favorite quotes that you'd like to leave with young runners, with new runners, with old runners, just with anyone that might be in need of some inspiration?
Well, I do have one thing that I like to encourage people, and I don't think this is unique to me, but I don't remember, I don't remember where I heard it first. I think it's based on a T.S. Eliot quote, but I think it's absolutely true that I'm getting tongue-tied here. It's absolutely true that you never know what you can accomplish until you risk doing something that you're not sure you can accomplish. And so whether that is running your first marathon or running your first ultra marathon or trying to qualify for Boston or trying to run under 3 hours for the marathon, or even if it's just running to the end of your street, unless you risk doing something where there's a chance of failure, you can't really know what you're capable of doing. So I really want to encourage everybody to take that risk and to do proper training and get proper help, but challenge yourself to do something that you're not sure you can do, and the rewards will be immeasurable.
Awesome. Great note to end on. Thank you. That's Chris Twiggs, Chief Training Officer for the Jeff Galloway Organization and Run, Walk, Run. I'm so grateful for your time, Chris, and I wish you and yours happy running.
Thank you. Same to you, Mark.
And that marks the end to another wonderful episode of the Running Anthropologist. Due to the wonderful people that come on the podcast, I'm just grateful to ask questions and listen and learn. If you are a little bit like me, you too have an exploring mind. Just want to know a little bit about what goes into creating these wonderful events that we take part in, and some of the things that people have discovered over years of experience, and some of that running wisdom. So I know that Chris offered a great deal today. I hope that you do connect to one of the challenges that they offer or to one of the coaching programs, which are really reasonable. I can't recommend it enough. And as I said, it was one of the best running experiences for me, training the past few years with the Galloway Method and running with the Galloway Pacers. Can't wait to connect with you at a future episode. Until then, I wish you and yours, as always, happy running, and hope that you have the best possible running season, running year in 2022.